All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. So in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets, how we are trading it. January is over. Today is Wednesday, February 1st. And hey, the Dow and S&P 500 post their best January since 2019. The Nasdaq, actually, best January since, 2001? So holy cannoli, but all eyes on today's Fed meeting. What will Powell do? And most importantly, how are we trading these markets? Yesterday, we entered a few positions. How are these doing? And there's something to do with Google that I will want to show you. Anyhow, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and we're real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience, and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff, and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And gosh, what a January.
Pretty nice, Marcus. Pretty decent. We see that yesterday finishing strong. You know, this to me kind of caught me off guard. S&P up 1.5% yesterday to finish the month higher by almost 6%.
Yeah, and this is where we talked about it. This only happened 5 times in history of stock trading. The S&P was up more than 5% after a losing year. And every single time this happened, markets rallied 30%. So that is good news. We will see what's happening there. And we had a few more earnings report. Let's quickly talk about AMD because, gosh, AMD doing really, really great this morning. I mean, earlier up almost 8%, still up 6.5%.
Yeah, they nice morning after an earnings beat, earnings per share better than expected, also better than expected revenue. So traders liking that news. It sounds like I want to say I read that they expect sales to be down about 10%. So that, you know, the guidance they're adjusting that guidance, but overall, it looks like investors and also analysts liking what AMD had to say, and it shows with a 6% gain today.
Yeah, especially taking out these highs that were established in November and December. So based on the chart, this is looking good for your AMD position.
Yeah, I can't complain. And you mentioned those highs in November. That's exactly what I want to see. I want to see AMD close above those levels. So hopefully we can now see the beginning of a new range, which would include a move back towards my cost basis on this one. So I can't complain here.
Awesome. So looking at today, right now, the indices a little bit all over the place, starting lower, closing the gap on a 5-minute chart. If you look here at the S&P 500 right now, moving lower a little bit. And I mean, that is not surprising because we do have the big Fed meeting today.
Exactly. This afternoon, pardon me, the Fed will make their interest rate decision, their statement. That Fed funds rate will be announced at 2 p.m. Eastern time. This is followed by a 2:30 p.m. press conference. As we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, a quarter point hike is priced into the market. It's pretty much a certainty at this point. So it'd be a huge, huge shock to the market if the Fed decides to do something different than that. But the real key will be in the statement. One part of the statement to watch and what investors and analysts will be looking at is a part of the statement that has been there since March 2022. And that's where committee members feel, quote, ongoing increases in the target range will be appropriate. So it will be interesting to see if this gets adjusted and is a little less hawkish. And we'll just have to see.
Yeah. And this is where also a lot will change for the next meeting. I mean, as I said, for this meeting, everything is already crystal clear. But for the next meeting, super, super interesting. Right now, around 18% probability that rates are staying the same, 82%, that they are being raised. And I think that this is where we'll see a shift after this afternoon statement. And then also in the probabilities, I just found it interesting that probabilities have shifted here to maybe the Fed will stop raising rates as early as next meeting. I think that's a little bit over-optimistic, but we'll be back tomorrow morning to report what's happening here.
Yeah, and this is where the press conference will be telling. I think even if the Fed, based on the data, is considering not raising in March, and if this even is a consideration of, you know, being the end point, I don't think they're going to say that. They want the pressure to be on, you know, combating inflation, and so he'll probably skirt around that conversation, even if they're thinking that they're done.
Yeah. So a few other reports that came out this morning at 10 o'clock, we had the ISM manufacturing PMI coming in weaker than expected, Joel's jobs opening stronger than expected. So a little bit mixed messages here, and nothing that the Fed will consider in this week's or today's statement, but definitely something that might affect how the markets react to the labor market report that's coming out on Friday.
Yeah, without the Fed and some major earnings announcements, today's reports would have had a little more significance. The interesting thing, there was a little conflicting data there, because this morning at 8:30 a.m. we had private payrolls being announced, or 8:15, that showed that 106,000 new workers were added to the private sector. This was a lot lower than the 176,000 that was expected, and lower than the 253,000 that came out in the previous month. It was said that weather had a big impact on new private payrolls because of the weather back east, also some floods in California. Most of the new jobs came from the hospitality industry, like bars, restaurants, and hotels. Goods producing industries lost 3,000 jobs versus the 109,000 added in a hospitality industry service provider.
Yeah, that's not good that jobs are being added in the hospitality, because that is what the Fed is concerned, the price of services. The main concern. So we will see what they say about it this afternoon, what Powell thinks about the jobs market, and then more information coming out here on Friday with the monthly unemployment report.
All right. Another piece of information I thought was interesting anyway. Pay growth for private payrolls was a little changed, but it's still up 7.3% from a year ago.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. So we have a lot going on with our existing positions here. I need to zoom out a little bit so that we see what is happening. And let's start with CTRA, because that's where CTRA finding some support at around 25.50, but not pushing high enough for me to sell the calls. Have you sold any calls?
No, it came real close 2 days ago, and then it's just kind of pulled back, found some support. So no calls for me on CTRA.
Yeah. Google, on the other hand, super, super interesting. I mean, right now, a little bit down, only trading at 97, so below 98. I got assigned at 108. I didn't think that I could sell calls against my 108 position, but this morning, one of our mastermind members said, oh, I was able to sell calls. And I said, what? So we looked at the calculator here, looked at Google for 108, and it turns out, let me just zoom in here a little bit, it turns out that right now there is, in fact, enough premium in there to get 30% annualized. So super surprising. And this just shows, I mean, Google is reporting earnings tomorrow after the bell. This shows how premiums are inflated going into earnings. So this is where I decided, okay, let's see, because this morning, let's just take a look here at a 5-minute chart of Google. Earlier this morning, Google was a little bit all over the place, and I saw it ticking as high as 35 cents. So I said, all right, let's see if I can sell these calls for 35 cents, because by doing so for 35 cents, I would make 39% annualized. And Google has been flirting with the 35. It went up as much as 34%, right now sliding a little bit. But since right now the markets are not having any impulses until this afternoon, I'm waiting for this. But yeah, this is looking good. It would give me around a little bit less than $400 for the next 2 days until expiration. So not counting today, we only have tomorrow and Friday. So that would be nice. And you still have sold calls against your Google position.
Yeah, I sold calls the 104s last Friday. I'm up about 20% on those, but holding those for now, keeping that premium. Right now, the expected move is about 5.5% up or down from where Google's at based on options premium. So there's definitely some volatility priced into that, those options.
Yeah. And I was really surprised, because that's why we have the expected move here. And if we see the expected move of what option traders are pricing in as a move over, until Friday, we see that it only goes as high as 103.27 and as low as 92. So I was surprised that I am possibly able here to sell calls at 108 and receive my target 30% annualized.
You got to get those.
I got to get those. All right. So yesterday we entered two more positions. We entered, or I entered, Johnson & Johnson selling the 160. And right now, as Johnson & Johnson is pushing higher, it seems that I can buy it back at 80% of max profit. So I'm waiting for the fill right now. I'm at 76% of max profit. So that would be good. And the same happened here in Pfizer. So Pfizer yesterday, a huge reversal. Right now, down a little bit, like 1%, pretty much in line with the overall market right now. But I'm also at 74% of max profits. And usually, our rule of thumb is that we close at 90% of max profits. However, if we can get 80% within a day, that is according to my trading plan. So if at any time today I can close it at 80% of max profits, I'll do it.
Yeah, and Marcus, this actually brought up a few questions when I was looking at the comments in under yesterday's video. One was, hey, I thought that you don't trade pharmaceutical companies. And this is a fair question, because we've said that biotechs are off the table. Moderna, BNTX, those went crazy because of the vaccine. But this would be considered big pharma. And think of the real issue or concern why we wouldn't want to trade a biotech. Typically, these type of companies are very volatile and they experience huge swings, because it could be that they're working on just a handful of, you know, drugs or vaccines, whatever it might be. And they're looking for FDA approval. So they have clinical trials and they're in different phases. And if there's a late stage trial that is unsuccessful, you could see a company lose 50% of its value because the drug isn't doing what it was expected to do. So I don't want to trade a wheel strategy on that type of stock. But when you look at Pfizer, look at these ranges. It's very methodical with how it moves. It has nice support. These are huge companies. And so I'm less concerned about that here.
Yeah, they're not the one-trick pony. Neither Pfizer nor Merck, for example. I mean, they are just big pharma. If you go to Walgreens or CVS, a lot of the things that you see in there are actually from these companies. So, yep, no concern there. So I'll see if I can close it, because the reason why I also would like to free up these positions is I expect the markets to show a very strong reaction to Powell's statement today. And I expect this reaction to be on the downside, if not today, then tomorrow. And I mean, you have this this great chart, maybe we can bring it up tomorrow, of how the markets are typically reacting after a Fed meeting. And Mark, over the last few meetings, it was actually down on the day and also down on the next day.
It was. So the last three meetings, the reaction has been negative. You know, sure, anything can happen. But it just goes to show that there is volatility really on both days. And that's something that we've always said, Marcus. You kind of have three reactions. One, the statement at 2 p.m. to the reaction to the press conference at 2:30, and then the reaction on the next day.
Right, right. Because the next day, this is when basically it almost feels like after the statement and the press conference that traders are in party mode, and then the next day it's the hangover, and this is where, what exactly did he say? No, it wasn't as good as we expected, especially considering that these statements here are done very shortly before the close. I mean, this 2:30 Eastern time, it usually the statement, wouldn't you say, it goes like 15 minutes, typically 15 to 20 minutes?
Yeah, the reaction to it. I mean, it's a or the press conference.
Sorry, the press conference. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a half hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah. So that's definitely a longer statement. And then we are already getting to almost 3 o'clock, and we only have an hour left until the markets close. And that's why usually the initial reaction is like, yay. And then the next morning it's like, what did you just say? So I wouldn't mind being able to close these two positions at 80% of max profits here, because then I do have actually only two positions in my portfolio. I'm good of having up to five positions in my portfolio. So maybe we can go shopping and load up tomorrow.
I like that plan.
All right, fantastic. Now, we talked about closing options here and buying them back. And we did actually a video on this, which we explain it in more detail. I'll link to the video right here. Check it out, because this explains on our thought process a little bit better. Grab some popcorn this afternoon, watch the Fed, and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.